Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We hope this week's message encourages and blesses you as we dive into God's Word together. Our mission at Reach is to see lives changed by Christ together in community by loving God, loving people, and reaching our world. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.
Today, I got six verses for you. We're going to be in Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. If you've ever been or spent any time in Romans, I think John Piper, I think he spent 8 years going line by line through Romans. So there is a lot in Romans. So let me talk about it this way, and this is the title of my sermon today, The New Way. Most of us are more comfortable, most of us are more comfortable with rules than relationships. Rules feel manageable. They tell us what to do, what not to do, and how well I need to perform. Then I can measure myself, compare myself, and stay in control. But Jesus did not come simply to give us a better list of rules. He came to give us a new life and teach us a new way through our life with the Holy Spirit. And today, we're going to deal with kind of a complicated thing. Most of us in this room didn't grow up Jewish. Most of us have a skewed view or a limited view of the law. And so I'm going to try to do my best to kind of explain what they're talking about today through this lens of walking under the law and being freed from the law and being tied to the grace and the law of Christ. So more than ever, we need to pray because our hearts want to define things. Our hearts want to give us lists and tell us how well we're doing. And that's great if you feel that you're doing great. That's not great if you have a bad day, if you have a bad month, or you have a bad year. And it's real hard to come under that grace that Christ offers us when we live under a set of rules that we fail at. Let's pray. Father, your word is truth. Your word has power. And this morning, you want to give us a new way of life. And so, Lord, whether we've tied ourselves to the law that we see in your word and we're trying our best to live under it and faithfully to it, or we've created our own system of law that we're living under, Lord, would you free us so we can live under you and through you and have life and fruit that benefits not only us, but our world. So, Lord, would you speak in a powerful way this morning through your word? We love you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I say this a lot, and I'll continue to say it. Context. You cannot just take the six verses that we're going and just take those without what's going on. So let me walk a little bit through this passage. Before we walk through this passage, we need to remember why we're here. So in Romans 6, verse 14, Paul says, "You are not under the law, but under grace." That statement immediately raises the question, if we are no longer under the law, does that mean Christians are free to live however they want? Because sometimes when we talk, we're free from the law. And he dealt with this in chapter 6, that we can just do whatever. Should we just go on sinning so that grace can abound? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Paul's answer, of course, is absolutely not. Today's text explains what it means to be released from the law. Paul is not saying that God's commands are bad or that Christians have no moral direction. He's saying that the law no longer stands over us as a basis of our acceptance with God or as a covenant that condemns us. The law cannot fix you. It can expose you. It can tell you what's wrong. It can show the areas that you need to work in, but the law in itself cannot change parts of you that need to be changed. We are not released from the law so that we can belong to ourselves. Sometimes we're like, I need to be free of that so that I can. Let me tell you, you are your worst God. Your own wisdom, your own discernment, your own life leading probably has led you into lots of areas of pain and suffering that you could have been freed from if you weren't the ruler of your life. We have been released so we can belong to Jesus. This passage that we're getting ready to go into is about a change in relationship. Through one union with Christ, we have died to our old relationship with the law, being joined to the risen Christ, and now serve God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Many of us, man, we want to walk faithfully with God. We want to know God. And we, like, let me just, confession. I love rules. I love checking a box. Because you know why? Because rules put me in control. Rules tell me that I have done a good job. Whether God is patting me on the back or not, I can go, look, I'm a good boy. I read my Bible, I pray, I do these things, and we can set up these things. And I'm not even just talking about the law that is exposed to us through the Scripture. I'm talking about the law that we generate for ourselves. We will be determined. You probably woke up this morning feeling good or bad based on a list of things that you've put over yourself instead of walking in that freedom and grace. And again, I'm not talking about permissive, do whatever you want, don't worry about it. There's grace for all, because those things still do damage. Those things still, He wants to change the way we enter into our relationship with Him. Before, it was law. You must. And if you're reading the Old Testament through the Kings and Chronicles, you see, like, if they do good, what happens? God is with them and for them and does things. And if they do bad, what does God do? God comes in there and does it. And we live in this place that's us. That's our life. Oh, that's God. He's going to take care of things. So it must be good. You should be good. But our way to get to that place of good needs to come from a different direction. In Christ, we have died to our old relationship with the law and been joined with the risen Christ, and now we serve God through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to jump into these six verses. I'm going to read them together, and then we're going to go through them. Okay, verse 1, chapter 7. Or do you do not know, brothers? For I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives. For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives, but if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law. And if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we may serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. I'm sure as you're reading along with us in the one-year Bible, which our reading plans are printed out there if you want to join with us, or you can grab one on the table, there are sections like that in the Bible that you're like, what in the heck is going on? Because he went from marriage to this, to that. And if we're not careful, we'll kind of skim through and we'll get a surface reading of what's going on and not understand. Because unlike the people that are reading this, which he says in this first verse, I am speaking to those who know the law. He's talking to Jews. they understand what he's saying because it is in their culture to understand. So I'm going to try to bring as much understanding so we can be pushed into the direction of what he is trying to communicate to us. So let's get back in verse 1. Or do you not know, brothers, for I'm speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person as long as he lives. Paul begins with a basic legal principle. The law has authority over a person only as long as that person is alive. Death brings that legal obligation to an end. Okay? We all understand that? If you are charged with a crime and you die before you go to get charged, sentenced, sent to jail, pay the fine or whatever, what happens? You're released from that. They can't dig you out of the ground. We're going to charge this man. And do they? Because they cannot do anything to you because you are now dead. He is preparing to explain that through a union with Christ, believers have experienced a kind of death. Because we have died with Christ, our old relationship to the law has ended. Paul is not saying that God's moral standard has disappeared. So we don't look at this old law like we don't have to do any of these things. It's how we approach the law. The moral code of the law still stands there. And most of it's written throughout the New Testament. You're like, oh, that's Old Testament. Most of it's still written throughout the New Testament of things that we're supposed to live for and experience. And because we have died with Christ, our old relationship with the law is ended. I already said that. He is saying that the law no longer stands over the believer as a covenant that condemns us or as a system through which we must earn our righteousness. Paul uses this word law a lot, several times in different ways throughout all of Romans. Here, he is primarily speaking about the law as a covenant under which the people are condemned, and through which they might be established, or they might establish their own righteousness. What he's saying here is the law is this thing that's like, hey, if you want to follow me, if you want to be with me, then you will obey these things. And if you obey those things, you're with me. See, we're condemned if we look at the list and we're like, man, we have failed at this, which we all have. There's no one in this room that has skated in and never sinned. So you look at it like, well, then I must obey. And the problem is that you've already crossed a line. You've already walked into that failure, that sin. We have not died to God's holiness or to his definition of right or wrong. We have died to the law as a system by which we try to earn righteousness and under which we stand condemned. He wants to set us free of that from our approach to it. Because old, we would come under it and we have to live to these things to earn his grace. The new, he has done what he asked us to do and we were unable to do. And we trust and live under that grace and mercy. We are all saved by works, just not our own. His work. We're standing under it. The old way is all up to us, pass or fail. It is on us whether we obey and walk in it. The new one is we're trusting in Jesus to rectify, to change us. And so in verse 2, he gives an illustration, which I'm going to try to explain. For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law. And if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. You're like, what in the world? Married, dead husband. Some people are thinking, like, how did we make that happen? Just kidding. You all love each other, right? Thank you, John. I appreciate that. Paul is not primarily teaching about divorce and remarriage in this passage. He is using marriage, something they understand, as it relates to their culture that they're presently in. He is using marriage to make one simple point. Death changes a person's legal relationship and brings the former obligation to an end. That is over. If the husband dies, she is free. The central point is that death ends the binding legal relationship that makes a new relationship possible, which is what he's talking about. He's not talking about freeing us so that we can run off and do whatever we want. But the marriage illustration is not about being released from something. It is also about being free to belong to someone else. Grace does not leave us unattached. We are not freed from one relationship so that we can live for ourselves. We are freed so that we can belong to the risen Christ. Verse 4, likewise, my brothers, as you have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God, which is our heart. Is that we want to be fruitful to God. See, Paul already explained this in Romans 6. We are buried, therefore, with him in the baptism of death. This is this illustration that we have. I think we have two baptisms scheduled in August. One will be here and one will be at our beach day. So if you're like, hey, you know, like I have not professed my faith publicly through baptism, but that's the image that we're celebrating up here with baptism. You're going into what? Death. Because you cannot live under the water and you're being raised to life. This is this life that we've been turned over to. When Paul says that we died to the law through the body of Christ, he is pointing to Jesus' physical death on the cross. Jesus bore the law's curse and its condemnation in his own body. By faith, we are united to him so that his death counts as our death and his resurrection life becomes our new life. Because Christ did it. He bore the law's condemnation. And everyone who belongs to him has died to the law's condemnating authority. We don't live under that place anymore. The law said the sinner must die, and Jesus died in our place. So that the law's death sentence has been fully satisfied for everyone who is in Christ. Our relationship status has changed. Or can change through our relationship with God. We no longer stand under the law as a condemning master. We now belong to Jesus. Romans 6, Paul describes this as moving from one master to another. We were once slaves to sin, but now we belong to Christ. It was like, you are, and let me just tell you this, you are a slave to whatever you obey. That's what they talked about in Romans 6 is like, it's not like, oh, I'm free, but if you're slave to something, that slavery is based on your willingness to say yes to it over and over again. And some of that for us is sin. Like we have things in our life that are mastering us because we're saying yes to them. And he's saying we've got to die to that so we can live with Christ. In Romans 7, Paul describes it as moving from one marriage relationship to another. Both picture make the same point. We no longer belong to sin and condemnation. We belong to Christ. And what's the result of this new relationship? We bear fruit for God. Fruit for God includes, but not limited to, love, holiness, obedience, worship. And I don't mean just this. And singing songs. I'm talking about worship, like when your heart is overwhelmed by the reality of what God has done for you. Good works and Christ-like character. Fruit is organic. It grows out of a life through that relationship. That's why Jesus, when he was talking about the parable of the vine and the branches, if we're not connected, we won't produce fruit. We cannot call fruitfulness, like I have two little lemon trees in my backyard. We had one that didn't survive, so we bought two more. Why not? They're there, and I cannot go to Food Lion and buy some great, juicy lemons and take them out to this little tree and staple them onto the branch and go, look how fruitful this little lemon tree is. I can't bring you over and go, look at its fruitfulness. But we do that. We staple works that are external to our outside and turn our hearts to people, church people, and go, look how good I am. Look how fruitful I am. And the truth of the matter is, you may deceive everyone. You haven't deceived him. The fruit has to be through our connection to him. See, I think that stapled fruit is a law that you had before that you're trying to live under. Partly because you're afraid of what he'll do if he gets access to all of you here. And we should be. Because the truth of the matter is, there's so much of our life that is in our control, living under our obedience that isn't submitted to him. And he is a loving father. Like, I don't know about you, but like, it hurts me when my kids hurt. Like, it hurts me. And sometimes it's their own devices that hurt them. It is their own choices that hurt them. And I could go be like, you dummy, if you would have just listened to your father. But the truth is, I love them enough to go, hey, you see this right here? I want to fix this, not because I want you to be a good little girl and make it into my good graces. I love you, and out of that, I want to see you be fruitful in your life. See, we want to produce fruit that is real fruit. And let me just tell you, the American church, I think, and even here at Reach, we can create what substitutes for fruitfulness. We call it service. It can be, service can be a fruitfulness of what God is doing, but it also can be stapled fruit. Your generosity could be stapled fruit. Look at me. Look how much I give. Like, Jesus is like, be careful that you don't, and talking about dropping, they had these things in the temple where you could give, and they were like these brass horn-like things where you dropped in your coins, you would hear, and you'd be like, look at me. But generosity should be a fruit that we have in us, but we've got to be very careful that we're not stapling things to our external, going, look at me, so that we can be accepted by the graces of other people and still miss Jesus. The Pharisees had lots of stapled fruit. They had lots of things that worked on the outside, their dress and their garbs, and they fasted and they did these things and they tithed all these things, and Jesus had the biggest problem with them because their hearts were not his. And the outflow of what he wants to do for us is a fruitful relationship with God. In the same way, we do not produce holiness by attaching good behavior to our unchanged hearts. We bear fruit because we have been joined to the risen Christ. The law can show us what fruit should look like, but only Christ can give us the life that actually produces it. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from him, you will bear no real fruit. Verse 5, for while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear a different fruit, the fruit for death. Living in the flesh means living in our fallen, unredeemed condition, apart from the transforming work of the Holy Spirit. Paul says that our sinful passions were aroused by the law. He does not mean that the law created sin. The law is a mirror that shows you the sin that was already there. When he said, I didn't even know what it meant to covet until the Lord said, don't covet. And then you're like, why? Why not? It means that our sinful nature reacts rebelliously when it is commanded to obey. Think about this. This is one example. Who's been to San Felipe? Okay? Who's been to a Mexican restaurant? You raise your hand, it's okay. If you haven't, you're lost. Man, it's good stuff. But think about it. Think about it. And maybe this is just me. Maybe there's something broken in me and no one else thinks like this, but this illustration kind of hit me. When that waiter comes out with like 15 hot plates and they say it's a hot plate, don't touch it. You try to grab it from them. They're like, no, don't touch it. And they lay it down in front of you. You know the first thing that I do? I want to touch it. I want to touch it. For one, I want to be like, maybe the ladies are like, y'all are dumb, but like the men be like, look, how hot is it? Suddenly, you want to touch it. The command wasn't bad. Their heart for you is don't burn your hand. Enjoy the food. Don't burn your hand. Enjoy the food. The command simply exposed something rebellious in our human heart. It's the same thing everywhere we go. You go to some historical site, and they have these little barriers. And you want to see something closer. And you're like, man. Why? There's so much of before, if there was no barrier, you'd be like, I don't want to see it. But they put up a barrier like there's something back there that needs to be touched. There's something back there that needs to be experienced. And what is the result of that rebellion? Paul says that our members bear fruit of death. Our members, it means the different parts of our capacities, our bodies, our minds, our mouths, our eyes, our hands, our feet, our desires, our ability, that sin used as instruments of unrighteousness. Sin begins in the heart, but it works its way through the whole body. Think about it this way, through bitterness. Bitterness begins inwardly. Bitter. But then the mind rehearses the offense. The bitterness and why you're bitter and why you're frustrated and why you're angry. And then the mouth speaks harshly because of it. And the hands refuse to help because of that bitterness. And then the feet avoid reconciliation. Oh, that's what happens. There's this piece of us that's like, And if we don't, and this is why Paul says, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And some of us are being ran ragged because we just let this do whatever it wants. And let me just tell you, I spent a weekend in it. Like, it's so, like, I want you to understand, like, I'm not the person standing up here going, I've figured it all out. I've mastered the law. Look, I balance between law and grace all the time because I want to be a good boy and I want to obey and I want to feel good about myself. But Jesus is like, no, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Stay here. But I go back and forth. And mostly because of here. And I have to do the work of going, no, God, you're good. No, God, you're doing. No, God, I'm not. Look, I'm telling you, it is, like, I don't know if it's just me, but so much of me just wants to run away. So much of me is like, I just don't want to deal with it. And that isn't God. Sin always goes deeper than a few bad choices. It is a corruption in our base code, in our DNA, something only a Christ-given heart transplant can fix. Before that heart transplant, the fruit of sin and death affected every area of our life. This verse is describing our former condition. Sinful passions work through us to produce fruit, leading to death. Verse 4, we go back, we just talked about 4 or 5. Verse 4 describes that new condition. We are united to the risen Christ so that we may bear fruit for God. Paul is contrasting two relationships with two kinds of fruit. Before Christ, sin worked through us and produced fruit leading to death in Christ. And I don't mean immediate death. I mean, I think this was, if you read and start in Genesis, you know, God told Adam and Eve, if you eat this, you will die. And they thought, like, I'm sure that first bite, and Adam was watching. And we can get mad at Eve all we want, but we're wrong. Because Adam was the one given the rule. And he was made leader in that relationship. And he stood by and watched her eat. And I'm sure when she swallowed that first bite of that apple and she did not fall down dead, he thought to himself, God's not right. God told us a lie. It's not a death. And if you think about this enough, it's probably a worse death. Because if we fall down immediately dead, there's no more thinking, there's no more like shame, there's no more regret, there's no more guilt. I mean, in this side of eternity. But if it's a slow death, it's killing you, sucking life out of you. And this is what Christ is calling us to. I think there's some people that are in that slow death. And maybe you are a child of God and you're just letting just enough sin in your life that you live in that shame and that guilt. And Jesus wants to pull you out of that. Jesus wants to give you more than what you've settled for. In Christ, the risen Jesus works by the Holy Spirit to produce fruit that pleases God. Old relationship, old fruit. New relationship, new fruit. Verse 6. And verse 6 is the reason why I'm talking about this today. I read this phrase in here and it just stuck with me. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive. Before Christ and His work of the Holy Spirit, you had no chance. Now, you may have stapled lots of good-looking fruit to the outside. That's what the Pharisees did. But they missed salvation. They missed grace. They missed a relationship with Jesus. So that we serve in the new way of the Spirit. And that the old way, and not in the old way of the written code. Believers have been released from the law's condemnation and from the exhausting effort of trying to earn righteousness through obedience. It is exhausting. That's why Jesus, when He said in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take off that yoke, put on my yoke. It's light and easy." It's light and easy in comparison to, I was reading this book and it was talking about the way the yokes work. There's two, and they always put a seasoned ox with a young one that they're trying to train, and the seasoned one helps by that connected yoke to train the young one. And this is the connection that Jesus wants. He didn't free you from the law so that you can run around and be like, "Jesus, my Lord and Savior." He frees you from that relationship so you can be bound to another one that brings life. There is no life. If we go back to the vine, there is no life if you run off and are not connected to the vine. Paul is not saying that Christians have no moral direction or that God's commands no longer matter. He is saying that we no longer serve God under the old system of external commands, condemnation, and self-effort. We have moved from one master to another. We no longer belong to sin and condemnation. We belong to Christ. Believers now serve God in a new way of the Spirit. This anticipates, and this is my homework for you. Like, if something's hitting you this week, here's my homework, and I'll tell you again when we finish. Spend some time reading Romans 8. And here's why. This anticipates what Paul will explain fully in Romans 8. Romans 8:3 says, "For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do." The law was not weak or sinful. The problem was our flesh. Our fallen nature. The law could command obedience, but it could not give us the power to obey. What the law could not do, God accomplished through His Son, and now applies to us through the Spirit. It also connects not only to Jeremiah, there Ezekiel has it too, but in Jeremiah, he promises this new covenant. "I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts." Jeremiah 31:33. This is this new covenant that was promised. Ezekiel talks about it, I will remove your heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh so that you can obey. The obedience cannot happen without that heart transformation. We can staple good fruit and we can look good to those who are in the Christian community, but the reality is we will miss the grace and mercy of God. Under the old covenant, God's commands were written externally on tablets of stone. Under the new covenant, God does not merely place His commands in front of us. He changes us from within. Legalistic religion. I said religion here, and then I want to just make sure, because sometimes when you say religion, you're like, are you talking about Christianity? Legalistic religion tries to clean up the outside in hopes that it will eventually fix our heart. Jesus begins with the heart and works from the inside out. I believe people are often drawn to the idea of earning righteousness through the law because it puts them in control. If you are good enough, then you feel safe. If you're not good, then you are not safe. Either way, the outcome rests on your performance, how good you are. Like, do we approach the Father like that? Like, I've been a good boy, you should love me. I've been a good girl, you should love me. Or do we approach the Father with the reality that I have not been? That's why I needed your Son. And my righteousness that is covering me, that you're seeing, is no longer my good works. It is your Son's placed on me so that I can be presented righteous before the Father. That is why legalism usually moves people between pride and despair. That's what it does. When you believe you're doing well, you become proud, you look down on others. When you're having a good season, it is easy to look at those that are sinning, and be like, oh, how dare they? How dare they do those things? When you know you are failing, you become discouraged and condemned. You live in that place of like, I'm a worthless piece of garbage. God cannot love me. Pride and despair. But the gospel removes both pride and despair because our confidence does not rest in our performance. It rests on Christ's finished work. Biblical salvation is completely different. It is a free gift given to all who place their faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus on the cross. Period. This passage matters because many Christians believe they are saved by grace but still try to live by performance. When you're doing well, back to that pride and despair, when you're doing well, you become proud, and when you fail, you fall into shame and despair. But our relationship with God does not rest on our performance. It rests on our union with Christ. That's why he was talking about. We've got to be released from one to be bound to the other. Jesus did not simply give us better rules. Sometimes we're looking through, because he even said in the Great Commission, teach them to do all the things that I have I've commanded you. Teach them to do. Oh, okay, what are all those things? And we look at it through this lens of like, just give me the rules. Give me the thing. Okay, the old is out, but give me the new one. We do not obey so that God will accept us. We obey because in Christ he already has. That is the hardest reality to live in. You know why? Because we still live in a sin-laced, sin-fallen world. And if we're all going to be completely honest, there's pieces of our life that are stained still. Things that we're not willing or ready to let go of. And when we go back and live in that law place, we're like, God, I failed. You can't have me. But we live in this grace place. The grace doesn't keep us in that sinful pattern. The grace gives us the ability to walk back to the Father because it's not us. So what should we do? Let me get our worship team to come back up. And this is harder. What I'm going to tell you, what I'm going to say is harder than just the words that I'm going to say, because they're easy to say, they're hard to live by. Stop trying to earn what Jesus has already purchased. Stop. Stop trying to earn what Jesus has already given you, because what will happen is when you feel like you don't meet the standard, you'll start stapling on fruit to make yourself feel better, but you'll miss Jesus. And here's the beauty. When you sin, confess and repent it. But do not hide in condemnation. Return to Christ and trust in his finished work. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's gone. St- stay connected to Jesus through Scripture, prayer, worship, and Christian community. Look, we can make it a rule and a law that, oh man, I must read the Bible, but like there is no other way. There's no other way for you to know the heart and mind of God outside of His Word. You have to consistently be in it. It will not save you. The Pharisees and Sadducees, they knew it better than we will ever do, but it's where we get to see Jesus. It's where we get to see His goodness and His grace. Depend on the Holy Spirit to produce what you cannot produce on your own. And then take one obedient step. Not to earn God's love, but because you already have it. You do not obey so that you can become His. You obey because you are already belonging to Him. And the beauty of it is maybe you're like, I don't belong to Him. We all start off at the same place. There's not like, let me fix my bad behavior so God will look at me and be gracious to me. No, it is coming to God with all of your mess and saying, I cannot fix what I have broken, but you can. Please take me. Maybe your step of obedience this morning is to say yes to a change in relationship. Stop trusting the law, even one that you created, and your own performance, and place your trust in Jesus. Ask the Holy Spirit to teach you how to walk in this new way of the Spirit, a way that leads to life, freedom, and fruitfulness. That's what He wants. And the hard part is there's no good system, there's no good checklist to make sure other than staying in the Word, staying in prayer, worshiping, and getting surrounded by another group or community that wants the same thing. You'll stand up. I'm going to speak a blessing over you and pray. I just want to remind you that every Sunday we have people in the back for prayer. If you're like, man, I'm stuck and I need someone to help me kind of walk out of this through prayer, we've got prayer in the back. We also, every Sunday, have an opportunity that you can take communion. There's a little table back there that you can grab that after service. So when we're not doing communion together, there's always the availability of taking communion yourself. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Father, would you help us shake off stapled fruit? Would you help us shake off a religious spirit that is more satisfied with others thinking that we are good, moral people? And would you help us walk in grace to you? And so, Lord, for those in this room that have maybe missed you entirely, maybe they've settled for rules and laws, self-imposed or from the Bible, but they've missed a relationship with a loving Savior that wants to give them a new way through His Spirit, that wants to deposit them the same power that raised Him from the dead to live inside of them. And so, Lord, we pray that grace. And so, Lord, I pray for all your children in here that are kind of like me at times, stepping on both sides of this law and grace and law and grace. And Lord, let us stand in the reality that we are loved by our Creator. We are called to bear fruit which you prepared in advance. And Lord, help us be fruitful with that grace and mercy. We love you, Father. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.